Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-ah! I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. I'm completely unable to understand why anyone, much less thousands of at least somewhat educated people, can be cheering on Hamas and the other terrorists attacking the people of Israel. Since when do we approve on the attack on civilians and schools and hospitals and civic centers? Since when is taking hostages okay? How about keeping people from leaving an area that's about to be attacked? Since when is killing and raping women and children okay? Hamas and terrorists have been doing these things for decades, while Israel has done none of them. And when Israel responds to rocket and missile attacks from Hamas, well, Hamas launches from schools and hospitals and residential areas. So when Israel responds, there are lots of pictures to claim that Israel attacks these areas. Yet Israel announces that they're going to attack so that the residents can flee, but Hamas won't let them. Hamas and their supporter, Iran, are pure evil. We need to stand with our allies and free the people of Israel. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. Fall is here. It's beautiful. How has that affected your activities, Skip?
Well, Colonel, that's affected my activities because I'm getting outside bow hunting primarily, the archery deer season here in Michigan. I was out this morning, saw three deer, didn't shoot anything, but boy, it sure was nice just to be out there and smell the autumn smell and watch the beautiful leaves coming down. You know, you probably didn't realize that I have this sensitive side. You know, all us Marines are like that.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with loving autumn and all that kind of stuff, but I had no idea you Marines have that.
Well, we do. I mean, yeah, I'm out there trying to kill a deer while I'm being sensitive, but still, it's a start.
Hey, you got to start somewhere. Okay, here's what we have for you today. On News and Comments by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss the war between the terrorists and Israel. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Then Congressman and retired Marine General Jack Bergman will join us to discuss some of our nation's challenges. Donna Baisley will discuss the abuse of her fiancé, who's in prison at Fort Leavenworth. Quentin Roberts will review last weekend's Service Academy football games, including the Navy versus Air Force game. And Diane Raver will join us to review the movie of the month.
Please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or Facebook. And now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. Naturally, we'll start with the news. Take us there, Skip.
Well, Colonel, our State Department has issued a worldwide caution alert in light of increased tensions across the world. Quote, due to increased tensions in various locations around the world, the potential for terrorist attacks, demonstrations, or violent actions against U.S. citizens and interests, the Department of State advises U.S. citizens overseas to exercise increased caution, unquote. A memo on the agency's website reads, the alert comes as pro-Hamas and anti-Semitic rallies and riots have sprung up here and around the world. A historic synagogue in Tunisia was left with serious damage last week after riots over Israel's war with Hamas. The agency further advised U.S. citizens abroad to stay alert in locations frequented by tourists. The State Department also listed a travel advisory for Lebanon, telling Americans, do not travel. The advisory warns of the unpredictable security situation related to rocket, missile, and artillery exchanges between Israel and Hezbollah or other armed militant factions.
This is a real and valid warning. In the statements by Iran and the many terrorist groups they support, including Hamas and Hezbollah, that Israel is the little Satan, but the United States is the great Satan. We should expect terrorist attacks. Indeed, we've allowed thousands of terrorists across our southern border in the past 2 years. Do you have to wonder why they came here? Be prepared.
And earlier this month, hundreds of pro-Palestine protesters surrounded the Cannon office building on Capitol grounds in Washington. A large group made their way inside, where they're accused of disrupting the congressional vote for the Speaker of the House. Police had to arrest many of them to get them out of the building. The incident is now being called an insurrection by some, and Republicans are calling for charges and investigations.
Hey, if the January 6th event was an insurrection, then this sure is too. However, I firmly believe that neither of them were.
And the discovery of a black market Chinese biolab operating in California and the subsequent investigation into it has exposed a tangled web of shell companies obscuring ownership and loopholes that caused delays in cleanup and informing the public. The public found out in March about a secret biolab operating in a warehouse in Reedley, California, about 25 miles southeast of Fresno. The warehouse and its biological hazards were discovered months earlier by Jesselyn Harper, a code enforcement officer with the City of Reedley Fire Department. On September 13, the House Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party issued its first ever subpoena to gather evidence in its investigation into the Reedley Biolab. Quote, "It is deeply disturbing that a Chinese company set up a clandestine facility in small town America that contained, per the CDC, at least 20 potentially infectious agents like HIV and the deadliest known form of malaria," said Representative Mike Gallagher, chair of the committee. Responding to the subpoena, Reedley officials turned over thousands of pages of documents, hundreds of photos, and hours of video. Numerous federal, state, and local agencies are looking into it. It's not clear what federal or state agency is in charge of this investigation.
The Chinese and its agents have many businesses and activities in the United States, including in many of our colleges. They make money there and can do real damage to our nation. They are an enemy. We need to get all Chinese government-related activities out of our country, and soon.
And Private Travis King, the young soldier who ran across the border into North Korea in July, triggering fears about a hostage situation before he was released without conditions in September, is now facing 8 different charges from the Army, including desertion and child pornography. King's charge sheet alleges that, in the days before the private dashed across one of the most heavily guarded borders in the world, he solicited nude images from an underage Snapchat user and possessed a video of a minor engaged in sexual activity. The charges also allege that King was insubordinate toward his superiors in the fall of 2022, during a period in which he faced separate legal troubles in Seoul for allegedly assaulting locals and vandalizing a police car. He's also accused of assaulting an officer and lying to superiors.
King should be court-martialed and punished for the charges for which he's found guilty. He does sound like a real troublemaker, one that should never have been allowed into the military. I'm not surprised that the North Koreans returned him. Why would they want him?
And amid a world at war, our Naval Academy is seeking another gender and sexuality professor. According to the Naval Academy's website, the school's mission is to develop midshipmen morally, mentally, and physically, and to imbue them with the highest ideals of duty, honor, and loyalty in order to graduate leaders who are dedicated to a career of naval service and to assume the highest responsibilities of command, citizenship, and government. Apparently, the Navy has interpreted that to mean hiring gender and sexuality experts and featuring drag queens in recruitment videos. Oh, and the other service academies are doing basically the same thing.
This makes our service academy grads less competent and less able to think critically, and this will negatively impact our military for a generation. Yuck.
And Black Lives Matter of Chicago recently threw its support behind Hamas, posting an image on Twitter celebrating the terrorist group's use of paragliders to breach the Israeli border and commit mass terror attacks. Left-wing groups at Harvard University, including the school's Amnesty International chapter, released a statement blaming Israel for the atrocities committed by Hamas.
Gee, wouldn't you think that Black Lives Matter would support the most picked on and abused people in the world, the Jews, as they defend themselves? No surprise, terrorist groups support other terrorists. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing, but we can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a veteran, in getting involved and getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. I encourage you to check cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel. We'll enjoy some warrant wisdom, and then we'll talk with General Jack Bergman. At ease, troops, take a break.
Fresh, flash, frozen, from the American farmer every time. PatriotFoods.com, hit the Shop Now button. You're supporting a veteran family in need every time you shop. Look at us online, see how we give back. for the servicemen and women of this great country. We are fighting for the American farmer. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM, 10% off today, folks. Shop now.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I buy Patriot Foods. It's great. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. According to the National Sexual Violence Resource Center, 80% of rape victims knew their attacker. Be careful who you let into your life. If they don't feel right to you, then don't associate with them. My experience has taught me this. When you let crazy people into your life gets crazy. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the front lines of freedom all across America. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. The fighting in and around Israel continues, as it should. Let me give you some background. I think everyone knows that Israel was a Jewish nation for thousands of years. This ended when the Jews fled the area to keep from being killed by the Romans. This was about 2,000 years ago. But a lot of Jews stayed there and blended in. The late 19th century saw the widespread consolidation of a Jewish nationalist movement known as Zionism, as a part of which Aliyah, the Jewish return to the land of Israel from the Diaspora, increased. During World War I, the Sinai and Palestine campaign of the Allies led to the partitioning of the Ottoman Empire, who had sided with Germany. Britain was granted control of the region by the League of Nations mandate in what became known as Mandatory Palestine. The British government publicly committed itself to the creation of a Jewish homeland. Arab nationalism opposed this design, asserting Arab rights over former Ottoman territories and seeking to prevent Jewish migration. As a result, Arab-Jewish tensions grew in the succeeding decades of British administration. In 1948, the Israeli Declaration of Independence sparked the 1948 Arab-Israeli War, which resulted in the 1948 Palestinian expulsion and flight, and subsequently led to waves of Jewish immigration from other parts of the Middle East. Winning nations claim territory, and expelling people has been a part of the history of this world forever. As I mentioned last week, none of the Palestinian refugees, all Arab Muslims, were welcomed into the many Arab Muslim nations that surround Israel. They just let the refugees suffer. This may be the first time this kind of thing happened in the history of the world. And what do you think the Ottoman Empire would have done if they'd been on the winning side? Today, about 43% of the global Jewish population resides in Israel. In 1979, the Egypt-Israel peace treaty was signed, based on the Camp David Accords. In 1993, Israel signed the Oslo I Accord with the Palestine Liberation Organization, which was followed by the establishment of the Palestinian National Authority. In 1994, the Israel-Jordan peace treaty was signed. Despite efforts to finalize the peace agreement, the conflict continues to play a major role in Israeli and international political, social, and economic life. Again, as I mentioned last week, many of what I call the radical Muslims believe that the way to heaven is to die killing non-believers. These people, led and funded by Iran, refer to Israel as the little Satan, and the great Satan is, yes, the United States. And do note that the Palestinians and other radicals weren't trying to kill Jews prior to 1948. Since 1948, the terrorist organizations in the area, including Hamas, Hezbollah, and the others, have attacked, that is, sought to kill Jewish people everywhere in Israel. They don't, as a rule, attack military units or sites. They target civilians, especially schools and hospitals and the like. This is totally in conflict to all rules of war. Many times they'll fire rockets into Israel from hospitals and schools in their refugee areas, so that when Israel responds in kind, they can say that Israel attacks hospitals and schools. When Israel decided to attack an area known to be full of terrorists, they notify all the people in the area to leave. Israel sends emails and texts and drops paper notices. When this happens, Hamas and others try to prohibit the civilians from leaving because they want dead civilians to condemn Israel. The terrorists have no problems bombing schools, buses, shopping areas, and the like. They have many suicide bombers because killing non-believers is a guaranteed way to the Muslim heaven. One wonders why there have been no protests about the decades of killing Jewish civilians by the terrorists or the takings of hostages, especially like now. Muslims are welcome to be citizens of Israel. There's a Muslim political party in Israel that plays a role in the Israeli parliament. Israel has been condemned for cutting the water off and electricity to the terrorist areas. The people living there are supporting their government, who is intentionally killing Jews. Yes, the local people will suffer, just like the people being attacked by the terrorist rockets and strikes. Maybe the people and terrorists should have thought of that. Okay, the big deal today is some people, including our government, want Israel to just relax and let there be peace in the area. Think about it. If Mexico had fired thousands of rockets into our country and attacked cities and facilities, killing thousands and thousands, would we be okay with just letting things go and having peace? No, we wouldn't. We'd fight back. And if Mexico had done this a few times before, and this attack was much bigger and more deadly than previous attacks, it's reasonable that, at least to this retired soldier, that we'd attack and destroy all those who were involved in attacking us. In World War II, that's what we did to Japan. Our main targets were the government and military and manufacturing facilities, but we knew we were also hitting civilian areas. No way to avoid that. And these people were supporting their government who attacked us. Letting them suffer may quickly remove their support for their hostile government. We had to drop 2 atomic bombs to get the job done, but we did it. If we hadn't dropped those bombs, we would have lost many, many thousands of combat troops as we invaded Japan. Our job was to win. Unless you support over 80 years of terrorists openly and consistently seeking to kill Jewish citizens and happy to let their people die if it might make Israel look bad, how can you not call Hamas and the other terrorists evil? You don't even have to like Israel, but let's call evil things evil. And this might help. Most Black Lives Matter groups support Hamas. And the female president of a Jewish synagogue in Detroit was stabbed to death in front of her home. I hope the war continues until Hamas and its terrorist allies are totally destroyed. Thus, other terrorists will learn a lesson and will likely not seek to be the next target. That's the only possibility for peace in the future of the Middle East. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. And now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have to share this week, Roland?
The unexpected attack by Hamas in Israel and the escalation of the conflict in Libya, Syria, Iran, and Palestine have made the world start asking, are we on the brink of a new global war? The war between Israel and Palestine is a long-standing conflict that dates back a couple thousand years. However, the involvement from other countries are only escalating this long-term problem. The invasion of Ukraine by Russia also has century-old roots, and it poses a threat to all of Europe. Russia's attack is an attempt to change borders by force, which has become a dangerous precedent for the entire world. And although it's unlikely that we will actually have an outbreak of World War III, it is likely we're going to see a big increase in the number of so-called proxy wars. And as a retired military officer, this got me thinking, what would it take for the military to recall retired military members? When it comes to recalling retirees, each military service handles the situation on its own. For example, in the Navy, when an enlisted member retires after 20 years of active duty, they're transferred to the Fleet Reserve. They remain in the Fleet Reserve until they have a total of 30 years of service, then they're transferred to the retired roles. That means that if you're a Navy retiree who's retired 9 years ago, you could be recalled to active duty if there's a reserve recall. Now, other services don't necessarily do that, which means if you retire as an enlistee or non-commissioned officer, your time has been served and you will not be recalled. Of course, everything is different for officers. When an officer retires, their commission normally remains in force and effect forever. They basically remain an officer of the United States until death. That means that if there is a recall, the officers can be brought back without an act of Congress or a presidential recall. However, if you're 50 years or older, that's really going to be very unlikely. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I appreciate your comments. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss some of our nation's challenges with Congressman Jack Bergman. Then we'll talk about an abused military prisoner, Corey Claggett. All this is coming up I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. You're standing tall with the front lines of freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for some boxing. Box three rounds, take a break, box another three, then stand at ease.
Military leaders have called our national debt the greatest threat facing America, and for good reason. We're more than $32 trillion in debt and counting.
Meanwhile, Congress continues to throw money at the Pentagon and Veterans Affairs with no idea if the money is reaching its intended targets.
Concerned Veterans for America fights for more responsible spending from Washington so Americans remain safe and prosperous in the future.
Visit cbafrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's cbafrontlines.com.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome back to the show Congressman and retired Marine Lieutenant General Jack Bergman. Jack has defended our nation in war and peace, and he's now serving in a very goofy place, Congress. So welcome back, Jack. Glad you could join us.
Hey, Danny. Great to be with you and the troops. And I love your use of the word goofy, because that's very appropriate. It's a little goofy out here right now, but you know, on any day, as I look at life and I'm faced with something new or different, I kind of reflect upon my parents who met during the Depression in the 30s, got married 1938. I joke with people, this year I was supposed to be 80 rather than 77. But this thing called World War II and my dad being in the South Pacific kind of got in the way of my parents' family plan. But I just wonder, it's a long way of saying, with the goofiness we're seeing here now, I would love to hear my parents' perspective of what they, the goofiness they had experienced during their adult years of the 30s and the 40s, especially. So anyway, I'm just great to be with you. And let's talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Yeah. Interestingly, I was born 6 months before World War II, so I'm 82.
Okay.
So that puts us pretty close together. Jack, start by giving a quick review of your time in uniform.
Okay. Well, Marine Corps, went on active duty in 1969, right at the height of Vietnam, flew helicopters in Vietnam, came back, spent a few years as a flight instructor, and then decided to leave active duty, but I stayed in reserves. And through basically the 80s and the 90s, doing a lot of things, but staying very involved, because you know, as a reservist of any service, you're subject to call up on a very short notice. So it's something that you do part-time during certain times, but then full-time when you need to. And then after 9/11, I was back in uniform for 7 years, and I went 1, 2, 3 stars and commanded in the final level of command, the Marine Forces Reserve and Marine Forces North. So I had responsibility for all reserve units, readiness and deployment. Plus, I had all responsibilities, both active and reserve, for the Marine Corps with Northern Command, with my Marine Forces North hat on, component commander, as we deal with in our case, Northern Command, mainly, well, Southern and Northern border. But I spent a lot of time in Mexico and the Caribbean and that area during that year. So, and then I finally hung up the uniform at the end of 2009.
And apparently you got bored fast and you ran for Congress.
Oh, well, actually I had 6 wonderful years of grandpa time. And I wasn't bored. I just, you know, something just happened in 2015 where my wife and I found that our congressman who represented us was not going to run again. And I said to my wife, well, if I put my hat in the ring, will you support me? And she goes, go ahead. Who's going to vote for you? Nobody knows you. So, of course, never challenge a Marine or never challenge a soldier, right? Right, Denny? And so I believe to the very core of my being, if you wonder what you should be doing in life, whether that's tomorrow, next month, next year, look up. Ask God for some guidance and open your mind, open your heart. And it's amazing what you hear and see and observe. So I'm very blessed to be here to represent all of the constituents of the First District, not just those who voted for me, but all of the constituents, and proud to be a member of the House of Representatives, even in these goofy times, as you stated earlier.
Well, yes, indeed. And you've got a new speaker now, Jack. Talk about that.
We do. Well, as you know, it's been about almost 3 weeks since the motion to vacate, remove Kevin McCarthy from the speaker's role. And that's sad. That should have never happened, but it did. First time in our country's history that occurred that way. And I don't know if you know this, but as we finally moved forward after Steve Scalise was not able to achieve the votes, Jim Jordan was not able to achieve the 217 votes. We went back into the, if you will, the third round. And I put my name in the hat and actually was one of, I think we started with 8 on the first go around. So I participated and put my hat in the ring. And I made it through a couple of rounds and then I didn't have the votes. So I bowed out. And what I, you know, that experience to be able to tell my grandkids, hey, Papa got 23 votes for Speaker of the House. Admittedly, 2 of them were mine, so I only got 21 votes from others. But we moved forward. It was an honest, thoughtful process. Tom Emmer was nominated on that round, if you will. He couldn't get the 217 votes necessary. So we went back to the drawing board again, and there were a few people that had been in all the rounds, Mike Johnson being one of them. And I threw my support behind Mike. By the way, our offices are right next to one another here in the Cannon Building. But Mike and I came in together as freshmen in the 115th Congress in 2017. And the Republican Party now here in Congress, needed to show the American people that we're serious about getting back to work. So we are back to work now. And I'm excited that we're going to get the appropriations bills passed that we need to prevent any kind of government shutdown, get the government funded. In fact, we already did 73% of the appropriation bills before September 30th. So it's not as though we've done nothing. We're working the last 27% of the appropriations bills that we'll get done here soon and move forward. But it's on us, as the Republican majority, however small, in the House of Representatives, to show that we're serious about, we're done with the goofiness here, to go back to the word again. And I'm excited to work with our new speaker, Mike Johnson, because he's a constitutional lawyer and he's a man of very deep faith and backs it up with his words and actions. So that's kind of where we are today. And we got some votes on the floor, and we've had to change things there was supposed to be some time off here at the beginning of November, but we're facing the November 17th deadline for, again, another government shutdown at the end of the short-term CR we did.
This is Colonel Denny Gilliland, Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Congressman Jack Berkman. I'm glad to know that everything's back in order and it's moving along. So let's start with, our nation's got a bunch of problems. Let's start with Israel. Take a couple of minutes on that. What's your position on that, Jack? Everybody I know is pro-Israel, but there's 100 different ways of being pro-Israel.
Yeah, that is what happened. Number one, I stand with Israel. I've stood with them in different various ways in my military career, but there is no separation, I believe, between our country and Israel, nor should there be, and I'm 100% behind them. The events of a couple of weeks ago, you cannot underestimate, sadly, the depravity of evil. Hamas is evil. There is absolutely no other way to describe it. than the personification of evil when it comes to what they did to men, women, and children. It was depraved. Now, what do we do next? Well, number one, as you know, Israel kind of lives in a bad neighborhood. You got Hamas on the southwest corner, right on the water, the Gaza Strip. And then to the north of Israel, you've got Lebanon, but you got Hezbollah right there on the northern border, and you got some other factions. But the real puppet master behind Hamas, Hezbollah, and some others is Iran. They're pulling the strings.
There's no question about that, Jack. None at all. And we'll discuss that when we get back. There's more to discuss about those issues. And yeah, Hamas and Israel, two countries that are both nuclear powers. That'll be interesting. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Yeah, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's the money I do. Well, I did them twice this week. Then take a break and stay in the area. We'll be right back.
This hour of Frontlines of Freedom is brought to you by HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net is an online resource and information center dedicated to the welfare of those who have sacrificed for the freedoms, ideals, and morals we Americans hold dear to our hearts. At HelpVet.net, find information on benefit-related issues from education, healthcare, military pay, retirement, VA loans, and resources on education, finance, legal, health and wellness, the military life, moving and housing, travel and entertainment, and much, much more. Visit HelpVet.net, HelpVet.net.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Congressman and retired Marine General Jack Bergman. We're talking about Israel and the fact that there's the terrorist groups, Hezbollah and Hamas and others, but the power, the money, the strength, and the direction really is Iran. And they truly are our enemy. They're everybody's enemy. Is that a fair way of putting it, Jack?
Well, they are. I mean, for those who've studied history, Persia, which is, you know, in ancient times, that's what Iran is today, that geographic landmass, they ruled the world. And the point is, Iran has been a very clearly stated enemy of everything except Iran, unless you will bow to its will. Of the, if you will, the Shia side of the Shia-Sunni war that they've had going on for, you know, thousands of years. But we need to understand, we as Americans, and I'll talk to the American audience here, that there's more here than meets the eye when it comes to bad actors. And I'm going to give you an example. The two head people in Hamas pretty much live in Qatar. Uh-huh. Doha, to be exact, the wealthiest country in the world. And we have to be very careful as the United States to ensure that we don't fall into a trap where the Qataris are playing both ends against the middle. So be very, very aware of an anti-Israel effort below the radar. And I believe that if the Qatari people did the right thing, they would, if not detain, at least arrest the two Hamas leaders for their role in the events coming out of Gaza 2 weeks ago.
That makes sense to me, Jack. But I've seen Qatar, however I'm supposed to pronounce it.
Whatever. Either way works.
Yeah. As being one that tilts more and more heavily towards the terrorist side. That's the movement I've seen. And our headquarters from U.S. Central Command in that region is in Qatar, right?
That's correct. We got the biggest air base right there, Al Udeid. And that's, again, we have to be very careful about false flags being thrown up when there's, again, nefarious intent behind them.
Okay. To me, it makes sense that Israel will at least attack Gaza when the refugees left Israel and some of them settled in Gaza. It's worthy of note that no Arab nation invited any of them in. Western Europe is full of immigrants from the Middle East, but not from Gaza or not from the West Bank. And then the people in Gaza welcomed Hamas to be their leaders. So how are they different than Nazi Germany? How is attacking them different than us attacking Nazi Germany or Japan in World War II? Or is there a similarity?
Well, I don't know if there's a similarity there, because it's, when you think about the axis of evil in World War II, you had Germany, Japan, and Italy, right?
Yep.
Okay. Sworn enemies. So now the axis of evil has changed from those countries to, again, we've got Hamas, and it's more not so much nation states to a large degree. It's the Hezbollah, not a nation state. Hamas, not a nation state. It goes right back to Iran and their desire to rule not only that part of the world in the 21st century, but to rule as much of the world as they can. Ideologically, they are, to me, a bigger threat than China, because of the Chinese are a much larger threat globally than Iran, because of the Chinese long game that they play and their, you know, their 100-year plan, if you will, which are roughly what year 52 or 3 of now, somewhere in that category. So we've got a new axis of evil that just Hamas is a subset of. It's Iran, it's China, and it's Russia.
Yes, that's a very good summary of it. And the active agent among those is Iran. And, if you have people actually believing that if you're the enemy, if you're a non-believer and I'm a believer, and all I have to do to go to heaven is attack you, to try to kill you, I don't have to actually kill you, and that's my entrance to heaven, that's different than motivating a soldier to fight for his country or for something. That's quite a different thing. I don't know how many of them believe that, but I suspect a lot do.
Well, one of the things, in order to get people to buy into your ideas, is to keep your people uneducated and keep them dependent upon you. And the sad part, referencing now Afghanistan, 20 years ago, when we were in the early stages of Afghanistan, here's a data point. You can verify it if you want or not. But if you gave 100 Afghanis a number 2 pencil, roughly 60 of them at least would ask you what it was for.
Ouch.
So when you think about keeping people under your thumb, you keep them uneducated, you keep them dependent upon you for everything. And that ideology is where we are right now.
Okay. That certainly makes it one heck of a awkward but critical. I mean, we have to deal with it. We can't just turn our heads and go away. I mean, it's not going to go away.
No, we can't. We have to be engaged. We have to be. This is the time, unfortunately, we don't have an administration who is forward thinking. They're still into the appeasement phase when it comes back to Iran. And there's no case in history where appeasement of an evil empire, an evil power, has ever worked. And so we're strapped with the Biden administration right now being in the appeasement mode. That doesn't help us as the United States of America on the world stage.
No. Well, we could talk about that for an hour, but we won't. Okay. So the best solution here is to let Israel fight Gaza and hope it stops there?
Yeah. I mean, number one, it's not going to stop. No matter what happens between Israel and Gaza, it's not going to stop what is going on in that part of the world with Iran's intent to manipulate outcomes in that area. So it's not going to stop. The best case scenario we've got in the short term here is, number one, we get all those who are currently hostages out of there safely. We ensure that those Palestinians who are good people, but under the influence of Hamas, we do everything we can to ensure their safety and security and growth going forward. But this is not an either or do this, do that, left or right issue. This is complex over centuries.
It is, because the people in Gaza, the UN with American dollars has put schools in which the Hamas people have been teaching them to hate and kill Jews. So we got three generations of people in Gaza who've been taught, thanks to us, to hate and kill Jews. Transforming them into some other mind thought isn't going to be easy.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's generational.
Yes. Okay, so the solution there is one, pray, and two, stand with Israel. And I sincerely hope we do not have our forces engaged. Jack, thank you for your time. One last thing. I know that you have a group that endorses and helps good candidates run for office. What is it? And tell people how I can get it. I'll take it from there.
Okay. Guardian Fund, founded by Alan West a little over a decade ago. The Guardian Fund, you can look it up online. It helps conservative veterans and minorities get elected to the United States House of Representatives and the Senate, for that matter, too.
That's right. Jack, thank you. Thank you for serving our nation. Thank you for being my brother in Christ. Thank you for being my friend. Charge on, do your job, bro.
Thanks, Denny. Always great to be with you.
Congressman and retired General Jack Bergman, what a great guy. I'm so glad that he's part of our team. He keeps serving our nation. He doesn't know how to stop. So this concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with Donna Blaisley. Her fiance is in a military prison. Then Quentin Roberts will review last weekend's Service Academy football games, and Diane Raver will review the movie of the month. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, it is time for pull-ups. Do 30 good ones, then grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.